the opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Spooky Things. This is Debbie.
And I'm Sarah.
We'd like to welcome you guys to the show tonight, and thank you for your patience with us. We've had a lot of things going on around here, but we're back, and we're going to try to get caught up with anything we could have missed out on. What's been going on with you, Sarah?
Oh, you know, I've been in and out of the hospital
two times
and been sick probably for going on 2 months now. So it's been a hard road for me to be going down, but I'm still kicking.
Yeah, you are. And I'm so glad that you are. And I'm so glad that we could go on ahead and get caught up with everybody out there again. And so we have an interesting subject tonight, though, Sarah.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
And the subject that we have tonight is Bigfoot. And I know a lot of people out there are very familiar with Bigfoot, and he's pretty popular around the world. I have some information here. You want me to run by what I've got here, Sarah?
Well, of course.
Of course. All right. The name was actually originated in the 19th century, the name Sasquatch. And it's interesting because the name comes from British Columbia Native Americans. And it comes from a Americanized way of them saying the Sasquatch. It was Celeste. Okay. And it's really just pretty much like an anglicized way of saying it. And the Ojibwe had in the plains also believed that there was, it's called a Rougarou. And they said that he appeared in times of danger. Remember the Mothman theory?
Yeah.
Back years ago? Okay. They kind of are leaning on that same kind of premise with the Sasquatch, but that he comes in times of danger, like a warning, or like as a messenger to tell man that he's screwing up, to straighten himself out, kind of a things like that. But basically, Bigfoot is a humanoid cryptic, and he's got different names that he goes by all around the world. And the interesting thing is that people see him all around the world, even in regions that back, especially when, did not have the ability to communicate with people in other areas, especially thousands of miles away. But they had the same stories of the same humanoid creature. And it's just very interesting, the similarities, even in their characteristics of these animals across these vast places. In Nepal, Indian Nepal, Tibet is called a Yeti. In North America, it is Sasquatch. It's also in China, it's called a Yeren. Other names, Almas, Hibagon, Winrung, skunk ape, swamp stalker of Boggy Creek, and a Yowie. These are the most commonly heard names that you'll hear them. An understanding from some people that some of the Ojibwa would call them Wendigos.
Yeah.
But, okay, but I have a lot of notes. Do you remember back when we did an episode on Wendigo, in particular? Yeah.
And it was not a Bigfoot. It was something else. So.
Exactly. Yes, because the Wendigos actually have the same kind of a body, but they're emancipated, very emancipated. And they also had, like, they would either wear either a dead deer head on.
Yep, yep.
Or they said that they had the head of a deer, or they were wearing the skull of a deer or a dead deer head on, and they smelled horrible, horrible. But the Wendigo had a smell of rotting flesh.
Right. Yeah.
Remember? And but the Sasquatch over here are more of like rotten eggs.
Yeah.
Funky kind of. I have smelled it, and it is not good. It is horrible. No. And a lot of them say that a lot of it comes, especially from down here in this region, that they would smell of rotting cabbage, because that's what they were eating out in the fields, was the rotting cabbage. And that's the was that smell right there.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, because I smelled it and it was absolutely hideous.
Yeah. And
so, you know, on me doing the research on the Wendigos from before, it really does not, it doesn't really follow a lot of what we're seeing with skunk ape. Basically, it's a heavy bipedal humanoid ape. You know, I got to tell you, Sarah, now you know me. I have worked with animals all my life. All
yeah.
my life. With animals.
Yep.
I got to be honest with you. I don't see what the big controversy is here about a Bigfoot. I just don't see what the controversy is. Of all the years that I have worked with animals, been around them, seeing the different adaptations that they do in different areas, on and on and on. How is it so hard to think that there could not be living in North America? To me, it's just like, yeah, I see no reason why that couldn't be. I mean, they got them in basically everywhere. Why not North America as well? So I don't find it, I don't have a hard time believing in it at all, because they're very elusive. They're very secretive. They're very shy. Normally, if you're not molesting them, if you're not twerking them off, you know, they're normally pretty laid back and elusive. So yeah, you know, a lot of times you won't see the remains of something. I mean, in this case, how many times did you walk through the woods and saw the remains of a Florida panther? You don't. Even seeing one alive, or it's very rare. And I swear, I think we see more sightings of a skunk ape than we do of a Florida panther. It's just, they're very elusive. So to me, it makes complete sense that this individual creature could. The reason why not? I mean, come on. As a statistic, though, that I have gotten, the Bigfoot stands at a probably 8 to 10 foot tall. Now that's big.
Yeah.
It has long arms, dense fur. Its fur ranges in color from red to white to brown. Now, excuse me. When you think about the different areas that it lives in, that would make perfect sense. If it's living in a more of a forestry range, it's probably going to have a more brown fur because that's the way it's going to fit into its surroundings.
Right.
Obviously, up in Tibet, it's snow. It's a snowy area. It's going to be white because that's where it lives in that environment. It's camouflage. It's nature's adaptation. So again, that doesn't surprise me in the least. And with it being red, orangutans are red because it helps them to blend in with the environment that they're in. So this makes perfect sense to me as well. It's like everything here fits the pattern of typical primates that you come across today. Of course, the name derives from its very large feet. Some people believe that the Bigfoot is descended of the prehistoric giant orangutan. It's called Giganticosis, giant. I'm probably slaughtering that word. Giganticosis. It's huge monkey. Way back when. And whereas it's descended from a prehistoric humanoid, like a Neanderthal man or Australopithecus. Oh, I think I have right. Could be. And a smell similar to the skunk or rotten eggs.
Yeah.
I know. Cool. Look at that. Well, actually going back before recorded history on the Algonquin legends and mostly seen in the mountainous regions of North America. The common name Sasquatch comes from the Salish Sasquatch. The Ojibwa of the North Plains believe the Rugeru appears in times of danger, like we were talking, and other nations warned him as a sign of man to change his ways. North American settlers started reporting sightings in the late 1800s and into the early 1900s. Generally characterized as a non-aggressive animal whose shyness and animal and human-like intelligence makes them elusive, so rarely seen. Although campers and wilderness travelers have claimed to smell the stench or heard their screams and the tree knocking.
Yeah.
Remember, yeah. And what they're actually doing is that they're taking their hands and they're cupping their hands and they're pounding on the trees. And it makes the sounds, they're so powerful and their hands are so big and so strong that when they hit those trees, it can be heard for like a mile or more. I mean, they're really loud. But again, gorillas do the same thing. They cup and they hit trees so hard that they can be heard for miles. Again, this is typical primate behavior. They were seen around the Sixes River area in Oregon. Hear a lot coming from Oregon. Similar accounts by miners and hunters came decades later, same accounts. 1924 miners on Mount St. Helens. They a lot of reportings on Mount St. Helens. And it was really widely publicized by the Oregon Press. In 1958, woodworkers in the east and west of the Cascade Mountains began to report seeing these creatures along their logging roads and seeing immense tracks crossing the roads at night. And they were striding across the mountainous fields in the forest terrain or hunting and eating ground squirrels in rock pits. So that's basically the reports that have been coming in from these elusive creatures. What do you think about that?
Well, me for myself, and I do believe in them. There's been reports down here where we're at in the Panhandle area, as close as Perry, Florida. And that's just a hop, skip, and a jump up the road from us. And that's closer towards you.
Right down.
And then in let's see, about maybe a year or so ago, maybe a little bit over a year, there was a sighting that was reported just up above Andalusia, Alabama. So there's a reason why these things are here. Don't know what it is, other than just another one of God's creatures that he possibly could have created, and why they are so elusive, but yet people are reporting sightings. That kind of perplexes me, because you would think that as many sightings as there's been around the world, in the United States and internationally as well, that somebody would have had some type of a altercation with these creatures. So I do know that I saw a documentary on TV here just a couple of so weeks ago, and it was talking about, I forget where it was, I think it was in Russia maybe, that some young campers had all went camping up on one of the mountains in the snow, and sadly, very tragically, none of them made it.
Wow.
And rescuers went up to find them and see what happened to them. They found their campsite and their tents torn apart, and all of the bodies that were left behind, they were torn in ways that no other animal could have, possibly done. Like their mouths were ripped completely open from top jaw to bottom jaw. And I don't want to get too, graphic here, because, I don't want to freak anybody out, but their tongues were even pulled out.
That's
And
amazing.
and there were footprints around the encampment that were the big footprints, and they recovered some of the cameras, the video cameras and stuff back then, and there was footage of a dark bipedal creature on the film, showing chasing some of them, because they all some of them took off running. I don't say all, because some of them weren't that lucky to be able to get to run, but it does show this thing chasing after them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so, but sadly, none of them lived to tell the tale, or to be able to back up the story, but there was video evidence of that.
So
And
no survive.
none of them survived at all. Yeah, very tragic event that took place.
How
And
many?
the blame was put on Sasquatch.
But how many were there?
There was a large group of them, about maybe 8 to 10.
Wow.
Yep, that were together. Yep.
And all of them showed signs of attack?
Yeah, all of them were torn apart.
My God.
Completely torn apart. I wish I could remember. It was on I think it was on the Travel Channel or something like that that I caught it on. And I was watching it actually in the hospital, because I couldn't sleep that night, because you don't get no sleep in a hospital.
Not
So,
true.
I was channel surfing, and that caught my eye, and I started watching it, and it was about that group that didn't make it off the mountain. So
Wow.
it's pretty bad.
Well, so goes with the non-aggressiveness. But
Right. They're all aggressive. I mean, you can't say that they're timid and shy. They may be to a certain degree, but if they feel like you are in their territory, they're like every other animal, that is territorial. They're going to get you out of their territory and their home one way or another.
absolutely, because you look at the lowland gorillas and they are the most peaceful, gentle animals until they feel threatened or they
Right.
feel encroached upon or extraordinarily territorial,
Yep.
and they'll come alive quick.
Yep.
And When they do, they're not playing around. They're not trying to scare you. No, when they come after you, they mean it, and they have a capability of ripping you apart.
Yeah, and there's tales that, you know, of fishermen that have gone fishing on lakes and rivers and stuff like that, where they heard, you know, their noise, their screech or howl or whatever you want to call it first. And then from that, you know, limbs breaking and stuff like that. And then from there, as another point of attack to get them to leave their home and their territory, these things would start throwing, I mean, huge rocks at them and stuff. And, you know, these, like I said, these things are going to get you out of their territory one way or another.
And, you know, that's just general behavior.
Yeah, for them it is. It's just, you know, natural instinct.
Yeah, for any animal, really. I mean, they have defined territories, and if something comes in, especially if there's young involved, you know, it can get real ugly real quick.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, all in all, I think that these animals have really gotten a bad rap. I really do. And I think they're just as, actually, I just believe that they're nothing more than an undiscovered primate that has been around for a long time. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, people don't see them. They don't see any. Of course they do. They see proof of them. They take casts of the feet.
Yeah.
They hear them screaming. They hear them knocking. They hear them howling. They've got videos, they've got pictures. What more do you want? You know? And it's basically scientifically proven that animals that die out in the woods, a lot of times they get completely consumed by predators, bones and all. They're gone. We don't know what their characteristic would be as far as tending to, you know, their deceased. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have a certain thing that they do to discard them. I don't know, but there could be a valid reason for that too, that we just don't know what it is. But I just completely think it's totally valid. I really do. It's just something that's so biologically possible, and I think that the mysticism behind them is only because that nobody actually kill or capture one just to prove it. And that's a shame that it comes down to that. Why do you have to kill or capture something?
Right.
You know? And I think that's just disturbing. I just think that's disturbing. So to me, it should be just, okay, well, it's obvious that they exist. Just leave them the hell alone. You don't want to get it, just stay away from it.
Well, to me, it's like, you know, I know people want to get out and they want to enjoy nature and do things for relaxation, but it's like, if you don't want to be bitten by a shark, then stay out of the water, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be accosted by a Bigfoot, then stay out of the woods. You know,
a bear, it's the same thing as a bear or a bison.
Right.
You know,
right.
We know bears and bison are big things and they will hurt you quick.
Yeah, bears are extremely aggressive, especially if you walk up on a mama bear with her cubs. Oh yeah, she'll get you out of her territory and away from those babies within a drop of a hat.
Sure. So, you know, I that's the way I see it. I just see it as it's just another creature of God that's here, and just leave them alone. They live up in a mountainous terrain for the most part. And
yeah.
Even if they're down here, I mean, they live so secluded and away from, they make it a point to stay away from people. Take their hint. Just stay away.
Yeah. Well, in my lifetime, I've had, I believe with my whole heart, two run-ins with a Yeti or skunk ape, as they call them down here, or whatever, but Bigfoot. One time, I was 6 months pregnant with my son, and me and my husband went fishing in a little John boat with my grandparents, who are no longer with us, bless their heart. But and we had banked off, tied off on the bank, under this like little top part where, you know, it had some trees on it. And it was just enough shade to get us out of the sun where we could enjoy a lunch. And we were sitting there eating and just talking and laughing about the fishing and being together. And all of a sudden, we heard this god-awful noise. And I mean, it just put chills up your spine and down your arms and made your hair stand up to hear it. And right above the boat where the little crevice area was that leaned over the top of the boat, you could see this tree, this sapling, and it was no small sapling either. It was pretty good sized tree. But this tree started shaking back and forth, and you could hear this thing, whatever it was like that, you know. And my grandfather looked at all three of us and said, "We're getting out of here."
Yeah.
So we once we got back into the river where we could turn the boat back and look back to see where we were, we didn't see the first thing. Not the first thing did we see. And the tree that had shaken and was, you know, flaring back and forth, it was standing still.
It's amazing how strong they are,
Yeah.
you know, it really is.
And I know
It's amazing.
that happened. I lived through that. I was so scared. I just about had an accident because, I mean, it was a scary ordeal. And then the next time that I had a what I believe to be an ordeal with one, I was coming home. My family loves to go fishing. All of us do. And Raymond was working night shift, so he told me to go on and go fishing with the family, meet him over on the beach, and just be careful. So I drove our truck over there because I had my fishing poles and tackle and everything and cast nets and stuff in the back of the truck. And I come home real late. It was like 3:30 in the morning when we got through fishing. And then I made the drive from Pensacola Beach all the way back over to Pace, where I was living at the time. And I got gal opened up the gate, pulled the truck in, and whenever I got out of the truck to go shut the gate, I automatically felt like something was watching me. And so I just kind of sped up a little bit walking, you know, to go shut the gate. And then whenever I turned around, I smelt this god awful smell. It just smelled like rotted shrimp and all kinds of different things mixed in together. It was just this overpowering stench that I smelt. And my brain said, a Bigfoot is watching you. Because we kind of lived out in the sticks a little bit, you know, away from town. And I didn't hear anything. I stopped for just a minute to see if I could hear any limbs or anything like that moving or breaking or whatever. All I could see, I couldn't see anything over where I was looking at, but all I could smell was the stench. So I got that truck up underneath the carport as quick as I could. Didn't even get my stuff out of the truck. I said, if he wants my fishing poles, he can have it. And I went running in that house and slammed the door and locked it and didn't come out.
Oh
But
my.
yeah, it scared me. It was something that was very, very nasty smelling, whatever it was. But I believe with all my heart, it could have been a Bigfoot.
Yeah. Well, it's actually very similar that I had actually seen it one time. And the interesting thing was is that it was at a place where a lot of people were. And I was by far the only one that saw it. And I was just in high school, and we were out in a very rural place, and there was a party going on. It was like you do in high school. And in the 70s, that was the big thing, is that you'd go off to this rural place and a bunch of people would meet out there, and you'd have a little party out there and you'd go home. But in any case, and that's where it was, and it was back by some mangroves back in that area, in the back of the flight line off of Homestead Air Force Base. And I remember it was so big. I mean, the thing was huge. And it did. It just looked like a very, very, very large, bulky. I see, the thing is that with me, when I'm thinking back on it, I cannot say it looked like a man. It didn't. To me, it didn't. It looked like a damn primate, the way it was standing there.
Right.
Didn't stand straight up like a person does. It was kind of hunched over a little bit. The arms kind of, like, to me, didn't look actually human. I mean, when you look at a primate's arms, it's got a human look to it, but I mean, the way it moves and the way it's just not quite exactly that way. It's got more of a, it's more animated. It's got more of a swing to it. But the one thing that I do remember, number one, is the smell, by far. And number two was the way that it ran through those mangroves. There is no way that a person could have done that. There's no way. Mangroves are very unforgiving. They're strong, and they're in water. They're in, it's like a mixture between water and branches, heavy, heavy duty branches. And these things just don't give way. They're very strong. So a person, there's no way a person can run through a mangrove, a nice thick mangrove. There's just no way that they can do that. But this thing had no problem. And he just turned around and he just took off fast. And it was before you could really acknowledge, oh my God, did you just see that? And, me and the person that I was standing with just kind of looked at each other like, oh crap. Oh Lord. Because we both know what we saw, what we had seen. But the interesting thing was is that he was standing in the mangroves, but there was people all around. And but of course nobody was in the mangroves, naturally, but that's where he was. And it's almost like he was watching what was going on, knowing that he was protected and hidden by those mangroves. It just so happened that he came out of the mangroves at the same time that we came across that it was like a land bridge going across the mangroves. And we just so all happened to just come to that corner at the same time. It just happened out that way. There he was. And as quick as a whip, he was turned around and he was gone again. And as so long ago as that was, it still stays in my mind, just like it happened the night before. It's just when you see something like that, you just don't forget it.
No,
And
you don't. Sorry
I
to
think,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
no, I was just going to say, I think that that's really why I'm so stern in my opinions, that I just think it is really, truly not giving, anything away from it. But I think that is really nothing more than a primate. It's a large primate that has yet to be actually classified that lives in the United States. Well, it can live anywhere, but a breed of it, a species of it, not a species, but a breed of it, lives here in the United States. That's actually just what I think it is. And it's just so.
There is history that points back to what you were talking about a few minutes ago, that giant, the giant ape that was in prehistoric time, a Giganticus something. I can't remember the last part of the name, but that they were a true species back in the primate, the caveman days.
And that
So,
was in this area. That would have been in this area as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I just saw something. I'm trying to remember where I seen it at. That they dug up some bones of some kind of an animal over here, down South Florida, I believe it is or was. I can't remember exactly because I was reading it half asleep. But
Gigantic.
yeah. There you go. That's it. But I don't know. I just know that some things we're not meant to know about completely. Because God created mysterious creatures. I mean, whatever God wanted and he could come up with, he created it, and I just believe that some of them are hidden, like in the deepest depths of the ocean, that we've never seen or come up with, and vice versa to the land animals as well. We're just not meant to know everything,
I agree.
and I've like gone to the zoo with the kids when they were little, and now with the grandbabies as they're growing up. And when we had Colossus in the Gulf Breeze Zoo before the zoo actually traded him off for breeding purposes to another zoo somewhere, he was sitting with his back up against the wall, but right at the window, one of the windows where you could just sit in the window, which is what I did. I sat down right beside him, and I just studied him for a little while. And sitting there staring at him, he would turn, and he wouldn't really turn his head to begin with. He just, crook his eye over at me to see me in his peripheral. So I put my hand on the wall, on the glass, and it was this, of course, this thick, plexiglass type stuff that where he couldn't break it to get out at you for sure. But I put my hand up there, and he kind of did his eyes, to the side, trying to see what I was doing, and then I just kind of tapped my hand on the glass there at him, and I pointed with my other hand to my hand for him to put his hand up there to mine. And God, girl, when he did it, his hand dwarfed mine by about 5 times.
There
And
it is.
I just sat there and thought to myself, good Lord, he is so huge and so large that he could really do you damage. And it just fascinated me. And then I sat there Raymond and the kids were getting tired of me sitting there watching him, and I told him, I said, well, y'all just go on and walk around the zoo. I said, I don't want to sit here for a little while. And then I'd put my face where you kind of like smush your nose up against the glass, trying to see things and stuff like that. And so whenever I did that, he turned completely around where he was facing me. Like he was looking at this crazy woman, and trying to entertain him, and his girl, let me tell you, looking in his eyes, I saw an intelligence of him sitting there and trying to figure out what I was doing. And there's something in those eyes, let me tell you. They primates are extremely intelligent, and I don't know, that I think that really kind of began my biggest love for primates and things like Bigfoot and different things like that. But I was just stunned. I was so amazed at this beautiful creature, but he was a silverback gorilla. I mean, and he was one of the largest of his kind. And he could rip you apart if he wanted to. But he was gentle. He sat there and interacted with me, and he was gentle. And I've got a feeling in my heart that Bigfoot might be gentle too, like you said, might be shy and maybe elusive, but yet they can rip you apart at the drop of a hat, so to speak, if they wanted to.
If need be, I mean,
Yeah.
they produce it very quickly.
Oh,
And
yeah.
back here, I worked at the Miami Metro Zoo
Yeah.
And I worked with two orangutans out there called Stanley and Ollie. And they, at the time, the zoo was just being built, and they were all back in a quarantine area that I was working in. This was back by the laboratory, testing animals as they were coming in and out, and that was my area, part of my
Yeah.
area. And I remember when I first started working there, they told me, they said, whatever you do, when you're transferring them from one side of the enclosure to the other, do not leave that lock anywhere where either one of them can get a hold of that lock, because you'll regret it. You will regret it. And I thought, oh, okay, I just need to remember, just don't do that. Of course, I forgot. They got the lock. And I remember getting so frustrated and so aggravated, because they would put the lock in their mouth and hook it around their tongue, and then stick their tongue out at me with this lock hanging from their tongue. And I think that I could and I go and I try to grab it, and they suck it back in. I'm like, oh God. I mean, these guys had it down pat. They knew what they were doing. And it, oh, Sarah, it was just, I look back on it now, and all I can do is laugh about it. And I was crying about it at the time. I was real young, and I was like, oh, I can't get the lock out. What did we just do? I know. And in a way, they were laughing about it. They said, happens to everybody, they get everybody, but you'll learn not to leave that lock where Stanley and Ollie can get to. And of course, one was tall and thin, and one was kind of short and dumpy. And
Yeah.
but they were two characters, boy, let me tell you. They, but I'll tell you what, as funny as what they were, they had every intention on getting a hold of you.
Yeah.
Get a hold of you, they would try to pull on you through those bars. They could take your arm right off
Yeah.
easily. And there was a few times they'd reach out and try to grab my shirt or something like that. I never wore my shirt untucked in my uniform. Always had to have your shirts tucked into your uniform, because if they can get a hold of it, they will try to pull you bodily through those bars. But it's, you got to respect them, because they can really do give you some serious damage. But oh my God, I must have talked with them for an hour with that lock. Finally, I just had to go to the head keeper and go, okay, it's up. They got the lock. We're wondering how long that would take. Not very long. Nope,
They're
nope.
very mischievous creatures, getting into everything. They're much like a child. They're into everything, inquisitive about everything, and you give them an inch and they're going to take a mile for sure.
Are you kidding? I was entertainment, because they're like, yeah, watch it, watch it. Let's see how long it takes to get there.
The one reason I used to watch the old Clint Eastwood movies when he had the orangutan in the movies with him was so I could watch the orangutan because I thought he was hilarious.
Was
That's the
funny.
only reason why I watched Clint Eastwood.
They really have pretty good senses of humor. They really do.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I mean, to me, they're amazing, and they're stunning by the way that they can mimic actions and mimic people. Is just, it's eerie the way that they really can do it. And but I thoroughly enjoyed working with those guys. That they were a lot of fun. Aggravating, but they were a lot of fun. But they're smart as can be. They've
Yeah.
been back to routine thousands of times. They know the routines. They can second guess you. They can predict what you're going to do, and they're right.
Yeah.
And
Because they're
they're
highly intelligent.
highly intelligent.
Now, the one thing that perplexes me is, of course, like dinosaurs and things. Of course, they were destroyed by a meteor, okay, that crashed into the earth and destroyed them all. So, if What'd you call it? Giganticus, what?
Giganticus. That's
Okay.
it.
Okay. Well, if he lived back in the time of the dinosaur as well, wouldn't that have meant that he possibly was destroyed as well as the dinosaurs? And if that has had taken place, where have they come from now? Where has Bigfoot come from now? Was it some that escaped the meteor and their death? Did they go deeper into the earth, into the caverns and caves and whatnot, and then descended back or ascended, back to the face of the earth when everything was over with? And they've just been a species that we haven't been able to, have much interaction with? Or, I think of, I try to think out of the box. And my mind, when it gets to go and it thinks about all different things of this type. But, if that happened to them, if they all died out, then where did they come from this time?
Well, you got to look at the platypus. The platypus is eons old. Look at the crocodile. The crocodile is a modern day dinosaur. He really has not evolved that much from back how many thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. He basically has remained the same. It could be the same thing with this. I mean, the saber-toothed tiger basically had the same body form except for the teeth, but he was just more muscular than what he is now. But basically looking at about the same cat, just a little bit of adaptations that have been made to it. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, this thing could have very easily have just taken a long time to develop into what he is. But I mean, even if he is the same as he was back years and years and years ago, it's totally possible because there are other animals that are about the woolly mammoth. I mean, it was an elephant with hair. I mean, let's face it, he was just a woolly elephant. Take the hair off of it, and you've got the same animal that we have today. So I don't know. I think it's still just totally possible. I really do. I think it is just completely possible. And I just, when I hear about, cryptid this and it is, far-fetched from the imagination. No, it's not. It's not at all. To me, it's just like, duh, of course. Why not? We're discovering new species all the time. So they were just talking about a woodpecker. I'm kind of off base here, but they were talking about a woodpecker, and they were saying that this woodpecker became extinct not that many years ago. I think within the last 20 years that they thought it was extinct. Well, guess what? Someone just last year or the year before took a darn picture of one. Can't be extinct. They're still around, but for all this time they thought they were extinct. They're not.
Woodpecker.
Some woodpecker.
Okay, it's not the red-headed woodpecker then, because I used to
No.
have a tree out in the front yard at the old place that we lived at, and that woodpecker, I'm kidding you not, he had holes all the way around the tree from the bottom branch, the lowest branch, all the way down to the ground, where he just went around in little circles and did little holes all up and down the tree, looking for bugs or worms or whatever.
Let me tell you what, we had a little pecker go up into our house one time down in Homestead and started da, 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 on the house and would wake us up every morning.
Have shot me a woodpecker.
Really.
Oh, I imagine it was loud in your house because I could hear him. I mean, the house was a good ways away. It's the same house that I closed the gate on that night that I smelt that thing. So that house was a long ways away from the road, but that tree was up by the road at the fence, and you could hear him you know, doing, you know, in the house all the way with the window shut and the door shut too. So that's how I knew he was out there. So I walked out there to watch him and to see what he was doing. And he didn't fly off. He just kept on pecking, you
Oh yeah,
know,
he
like,
had to be doing it on wood and metal.
yeah.
It
Yeah.
was horrible. It was horrible.
Hilarious.
Oh my God! So no, it was not the red-headed woodpecker because that's what was
Yeah. This
wow.
one, he had a red head, and he was black and white.
Yeah,
The
they're
red
real.
on his body, he was really pretty.
Yeah, they are. They're real pretty. No, I think that they said it was a brown wood. It was like brown. But anyway, it was supposed to be this bird that they claim had not been seen in decades, and they said it was extinct. But yet someone took a picture of it very recently. And so, well, they can't be very extinct because there's one. And so I mean, it's just like nothing is what it seems to be. There's always something, you know, that can come back and say, oh, nope, not at all. Here you go. Here, you know. But there's been a lot of animals that they thought, oh, wow, you know, that's it. It's, you know, story is done.
Yeah.
Not thank, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm very thankful for that. And some tend to make a wonderful comeback, and unfortunately, some don't. And we do end up eventually losing them.
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, like you're saying, people actually have extinct, but yet they've come back. How the heck does that happen? I guess it just goes down this. They go into seclusion, they go into hiding, and nobody sees them. And they just make these miraculous comebacks. And hang on just a minute. Hang on. Come here. I have an intruder in the studio. It's Roman. Come here. Since you're in here, come here. Come here. Say hi to Sarah.
Hey, Roro.
Look, Auntie Sarah.
Roro.
Right there.
Hey, baby. Oh, my God, he's growing up so fast.
I know, isn't he, though?
Hi, Roro.
Say, Auntie Sarah.
It's a pleasure to have you on the radio with us.
Ooh, yeah. What do you think of that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Go and see mama. Go see mama. No, that's the wrong way, dude. Go see mama. No. Leave the equipment. Just go see mama. There you go. Lord, help me. I am so
Oh, it's like my grandbabies.
You know, it's like when you got your studio in your house, this is what happens. So, but.
Well, that's pretty much all I've got on Bigfoot for tonight. I know it's a wide subject and you could talk about it all night long, but we would never, ever get all of the, you know, evidence and all of the research and stuff done with. He's such a vast creature to talk about on topic, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I would love to do a, I would love to go out one night and see what we could experience with it. I mean, I would be totally game for it. Now,
okay.
I would love to. There's actually been a lot of sightings in a little city here called Graceville, and My understanding is just north of Graceville, up by the Georgia line, just up in that area, right up in there, there's been a lot of sightings. The skunk back up up in there. I don't know. Many of the people swear by that they're up there.
Well,
Don't know. I
have you forgotten that your sister here has a bum leg and I can't run very fast? And I would more than likely be the one lagging behind that he would get. So y'all would be running ahead of me and been done, forgot about me. I know y'all.
about you. I'd
I
be
know.
yelling, hurry up. Hurry up. Come
You could yell all you want, but that don't mean that this old bum leg of mine would hurry up. You know what I mean?
Well, well, we just need to hope that we don't get chased.
I'll tell you what. I'll go out there with y'all, and I'll hold the fort down inside the truck. Okay.
You could do that.
And when I see y'all coming running, then I'll be the one that cranks the engine up and gets ready to haul butt.
It's going to be like any other investigation, Sarah. When Debbie and Sarah say, we could have a problem, that's the time for you to panic.
Exactly. Abort mission.
But don't panic until then. Until then, everything is fine. It's just fine.
And all the
You're good.
things.
Oh my God, that's funny. Well, so much for our Bigfoot conversation here. If anybody out there has anything they would like to contribute, please let us know. Any stories that you have, let us know. We'd love to hear them. I was just told that by our producer that we might be able to start adding video here soon. So that would be really wonderful.
That will be great.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Yep. And I'm excited about too, y'all. Don't forget now, August the 19th and the 20th, the Deep South Paracommie Con in Ozark, Alabama is going to be taking place. And I'm telling you guys, you are not going to want to miss this. I
Really,
am so
because
forward to it.
I'm telling you guys, you're going to let the weekend go by and you're going to be like, oh man. So everybody's going to be talking about it, how cool it was there. And you're going to be like, geez, I really wish I would have gone. So don't be that person saying, I wish I would have gone. Be that person that says, oh man, I went and it was really cool. Get your tickets and come on and out there and see us. Sarah and I are going to be there. We're going to have our booth out there. And I love to meet everybody that comes in. That's why we're all there. So come on out and see us in Ozark, Alabama, August 19th and 20th.
It's going to be a lot of entertainment, things that you can walk around and do at the booths, and there's going to be some classes that are taught, lectures that are given on things. And let's see, there's going to be celebrity guests there,
Lots.
some you're going to know from TV. And there's going to be, I know I'm missing a lot, but just some of the higher points. It's going to be a haunted investigation where you can actually go on a bet investigation with some of the groups that are going to be there. And Stan and Teresa Fikes, the beautiful couple that is putting on the Paracommie Con. And if it's my understanding, I believe that the proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club to
Yes.
help out. So that is a very worthy venture right there to help out the boys and the girls. So we just want you guys to come on out and have an amazing time and get to see different things and meet some really cool individuals and just have a great time. And it is family friendly.
Absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to it. We've had a lot of the people who follow us, I'm so excited because we've had a great response, and we've got a lot of friends coming to catch up with us there, and I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
And so everybody come on out and see us. We're excited about it and just can't wait to see you guys there. And Sarah, I'm so glad that we could do our show together.
Me too, but I'm sorry I've missed, and it's been no control of mine. I have been way out of control health-wise here lately with this bacteria and stuff that seems to be attacking my body from my stomach and a kidney stone. So y'all believe in prayer out there. Y'all just send prayers my way, because I'm better, but I'm not completely 100% yet. So I would appreciate your prayers.
Well, you know, you got them from us.
Yep, I sure do. I know that, sister.
You do. You do. So everybody out there, we love you. Thank you so much for tuning in to us. And we're going to be signing off. And it's Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We will be back and we will have another interesting topic that we'll be talking about. And we hope that you join us for that. So this is Debbie signing off.
And this is Sarah. Thank you all so much. Like Debbie said, we love you and greatly appreciate you. And thank you guys for following us.
Y'all take care now. Good night.
Good night, and have a blessed week, rest of the week, and a up and coming great weekend. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.